You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 366. It is Monday, December 5th, and we're here to talk a little bit Notre Dame football. Thank you for listening to us and joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk or on Facebook, where we send out tidbits of news as they break, as well as links to the podcast and articles so that you don't miss any of that. So, today, we've got some news on some transfers, guys who won't be with the team. Randall's got a list of early enrollees that will be coming to Notre Dame in January. And it's going to be a shorter episode today, but in a week, next week, we want to discuss kind of a review of the season, what went wrong, and then also some changes that we think need to take place. And possibly by then, maybe there will be some changes already taking place in the coaching staff and whatnot. So why don't we just get started? I guess, Randall, before we do get started with the early enrollees and the transfers, is there anything else that we should discuss?
Well, there's a couple different subjects. I mean, obviously, since the season ended, people are pretty upset with Brian Kelly, you know, the rumors that are out there. There's even somebody started a GoFundMe page trying to raise money to put a full-page ad in the South Bend Tribune. There was pictures of a flight, the pre-flight, the route from South Bend to Oregon when it came out that Oregon was firing their coach. Didn't say who it was. You know, everybody's like, oh, somebody from South Bend's flying to Oregon, which that could very easily be fake. Anybody can set that up.
Let's talk a little bit about the ad taken out in the GoFundMe. It makes me mad. I think it's ridiculous. It's not, for one thing, it won't change anything. Jack Swarbrick on his radio show a few days ago said that he knew about the potential wins taken away and being under a year of probation, all this stuff that came from the players that were caught cheating and how Notre Dame handled it and the NCAA's investigation. He knew all that well in advance before it came out to the public, and he made his comment about Brian Kelly being back, knowing all the facts as far as that goes. Obviously, they're still fighting about the wins being vacated, which I do think I would be shocked if that doesn't get overturned or taken out of the ruling on that. But back to, yes, paying for an ad in the South Bend Tribune what did it say? It didn't say fire Brian Kelly, but something about being very disappointed with the football program.
Said, "We as members of the Notre Dame family are disgusted by the current stewardship of the football program. If you would like to be a part of a full page ad that will be in the South Bend Tribune, please contribute to this fund for the advertisement." When I saw it was around $3,000.
And here's one thing that I just want to discuss a little bit. Notre Dame's defense was awful last year, beginning of this year, and the approach could, from a fan's approach, I heard some fans say, you know, this is still Brian Kelly's fault. He's got to be fired. This is his fault. Well, Brian Kelly ended up firing Van Gorder. But with that philosophy, as far as it's the guy at the top's fault, he's got to be fired. Well, Brian Kelly's not at the top. Jack Swarbrick is. So do you want to get rid of Jack Swarbrick too, who has really brought Notre Dame football back and the basketball program back? And I don't really look at the other Notre Dame program, so I'm not sure. I know they're doing very well, hockey has been doing well for a very long time. But he's been doing a phenomenal job. Some people down the totem pole haven't been doing so well. And Brian Kelly is one of those faces on the totem pole, and some faces below him on the totem pole haven't been doing well. But just getting rid of the guy at the top isn't the right answer.
Well, and this probably isn't a popular
subject. It isn't always the right answer. Just saying, I'll go all the way to the top and start over.
The thing about getting rid of somebody is you got to replace him. And I think that's what a lot of people miss when they want to get rid of Brian Kelly. Now, my gripe with this, fine. You want to try to do something. You want to take it into your hands and try to make a difference on this football team by trying to get rid of coach, whatever. After this year, I was in Texas for the Texas-Notre Dame game. And the other week, I was actually at a Penn State game out in Pennsylvania when they played Michigan State. And let me tell you, their fan base, the game day, is Notre Dame doesn't even get close.
What?
And the thing is, I think Notre Dame's gotten better the last couple of years as far as getting louder, being allowed to stand up in the stadium, not having people tell you to sit down, all this and that.
Well, what's different about, like, what are some factors and what's different? I mean, you've got music, you've got excitement from the fans, the student section. What are some differences from Notre Dame Stadium to these other places?
Well, one thing that helps with Texas, they're allowed to sell alcohol in the stadium. So
people are more animated?
Yeah, but it is so much louder. And people
and louder from the
people,
fans?
Yes, I'm talking about the fans. And people are more involved in the game. There's more of a reaction. Penn State, you say, well, they have a huge stadium. They can hold like 105,000. The stadium wasn't even full. The one end was basically empty. The student section wasn't even full. They get louder when their defense is on first and 10 than Notre Dame crowd ever does on a third down situation.
That is unbelievable. One other difference that I think you told me this. At Texas and at Penn State, they both shot off fireworks when there was a touchdown or at some point in the game. Notre Dame needs to do... Well, when did they shoot off fireworks?
I think right before the game, and then whenever they scored a touchdown. Penn State, they didn't have any... You just saw them. There wasn't really that much noise with it. But even in Texas, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it just makes everything more exciting.
And it would have to be at a night game, obviously, or you wouldn't see it.
Not necessarily. The Penn State game was at 3:30.
And you could see the fireworks? Yeah.
And Texas, they always have a cannon shoot. You can hear it on TV, but trust me, it is not near as loud on the TV. When you're in the stadium. Oh, my word. It's deafening. But even like at Penn State, which Notre Dame might get better at this with, you know, their upgrades in the stadium. But in timeouts, you know, between quarter and that, there was music playing, and it was songs that everybody knew, and the crowd was singing along.
And
singing "Sweet Caroline," like even when the band is playing, everybody is singing. Like everybody is into the game. Obviously, this year it was a bad year, but I've gone to Notre Dame games for quite a few years, and it just doesn't compare. So my gripe with all this is, if you really want to make a change, if you want to help this team, help them get the home field advantage. There is a huge home field advantage at these other places. Notre Dame doesn't have that. The away team is probably glad to play there because it's quieter than their home stadium.
It's like a neutral game, neutral field.
And this year, the tickets were so there was enough tickets sold that, like, especially at the Miami game, they had.
You could hear.
You would think it was the home crowd cheering when Miami was there.
There were boos and cheers that you could hear from Miami.
So I just think it's a cop-out to try to do this, put an ad in the newspaper. And Notre Dame, I've talked with other fans that aren't Notre Dame fans, and the first thing they say about a Notre Dame fan is they're so wishy-washy. They're either fire him or we love him. There's no in-between. It's like...
There's no rationale.
No. That's what exactly.
And I just want to hit on a point that you said. It's not just this year that Notre Dame Stadium hasn't been a home field advantage.
It's always been.
It's been like that. I was at a game in 2012, and it was the Stanford game, and it was pretty loud there, especially at the end of the game. And you were there too,
obviously. Yeah.
But other years too, when Notre Dame has been having a good season, it's still not like it is at Texas or Penn State. I can't imagine what it would be like at Ohio State.
I don't even want to go find out. So.
They're just a bunch of lemmings over there anyway, so it doesn't...
If you do go there, you might have to watch out with guys with machetes. So, even with recruiting, I do get frustrated when you see negative... Just like Notre Dame had another decommitment last week. And how quickly people turn on. Yeah, that's it. End of my rant.
Okay, I like it. All right, next week we're going to talk about the season in recap. I'm not sure how much depth we'll go into.
I'll say, here's a good example. Sorry, I said I was done, but I put a picture on our Instagram of Malik Zaire and said that he's transferring. Just go read the comments on that. It's retarded. Everyone is negative. And what has Malik Zaire done that everybody should hate him?
I'm going to pause the podcast and just read a few of these. All right. I did get a chance to read a few of those.
Well, now that we've probably lost a couple of listeners, it's just frustrating. I am totally with, I will say, I'm totally with this. I think changes do need to be made. I think some people do need to be let go, but we're not going to do that. I mean, we can say all we want, it's not going to happen. The one thing we can do is be there and root for our team and scream at the top of our lungs and give them a home field advantage, give them the excitement to play at Notre Dame, give the recruits a great feeling. I mean, that Pete Werner that decommitted from Notre Dame was at Ohio State for the Ohio State-Michigan game, and I guarantee there is no game that will come even close to that at Notre Dame, just the atmosphere and stuff. It's just that the reason I feel so strong about this is because I think that's one way we can make a difference with this team.
Well, and I know other fans are also very negative very uncourteous to players if they would decommit or transfer, whatever. But I just don't get that either. I mean, I would be very disappointed. I will be disappointed when Deshaun Kizer declares for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But I will not call him a name.
Yeah.
I'll be very disappointed, but I'll still wish him the best. And even with a transfer, I think that's a transfer could leave more hurt feelings if it would be a player like Kizer. But if it's a guy who's not contributing, I'm glad they're moving on, because that opens up another spot for recruits.
Yeah.
Not that I even want to see them go, like Malik or like Corey Holmes, but it still opens up another opportunity for a recruit that could contribute.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the players. We kind of mentioned them, some of them. But yeah, the players that are transferring will not be at Notre Dame that we know of so far. Three guys so far. Randall, who are they?
Malik Zaire, Corey Holmes, and John Montelus.
All right, so I'm not surprised about Malik Zaire. I think just the relationship between him and the coach has kind of just been irreparable at this point. And not even that Brian Kelly handled it wrong. I mean, he did give him a shot at the beginning of the year. But I think it's just the kind of it's just time to move on. I mean, it's just not...
You could say he gave him too much of a shot. I mean, that was our argument, that he got his chance.
Yes, agreed.
And I just think there was some... Obviously, we saw what his dad... I mean, his dad went to Facebook and was pretty upset about it, not getting the starting job. And we saw what happened on Showtime last year, you know, where Brian Kelly... It seemed like Brian Kelly said, hey, this is your team, you'll be back next year. And I can totally see that. I mean, Zaire said... He said in an interview that he believes he's the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
He's got to have confidence.
I don't know if he said it, but I'm pretty sure he believed it when he was a sophomore, redshirt freshman, and was not start or Golson was starting over him.
Yeah. But I think it's a smart decision for him, honestly. I mean, for his part, I don't think he'd have to come back and compete again. Every year he's had to, which it's good. You want a competition, but I think he's just tired of it.
Well,
the thing is, he's going to have to beat somebody out at the next school.
And I don't think he's better. Assuming Deshaun Kizer is gone, I don't think, from my perspective, that he should be given the job if it would be between Zaire and Wimbush, just those two guys. I think Wimbush has talent. I mean, I don't know that it's out of this world or even close to where Deshaun Kizer was, but definitely coming back next year, I would assume he should assume, and I'm hoping the coaches would assume too, that it's going to be a competition.
Yeah.
So Well, yeah, what are some of the schools that he's possibly going to be end up at?
The four schools they mentioned were Florida, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Pittsburgh. And now North Carolina is another one. He's actually visiting North Carolina this week, or he plans to. And I guess the one connection he has there, the quarterback that was at North Carolina that's expected to go to the NFL draft early this year, is from Ohio as well, Zaire Newham. So they will probably lose their quarterback, and he would have a chance. Now, earlier, which I think Zaire actually said it, that you know he wouldn't be allowed to go to any school that's on Notre Dame's schedule next year. But they've since clarified that he can go to any school he wants to, which means Michigan State and North Carolina are on Notre Dame's schedule.
It is surprising that they dropped that regulation or whatever you want to call it.
Here's one scenario. Can you imagine the hype around it? Let's say he goes to North Carolina or Michigan State and gets the starting job, and they're going to play Notre Dame next year, and Brian Kelly is on the hot seat. Can you imagine the hype around the game? And Brian Kelly will absolutely have to win that game.
If he loses that, it's going to, yeah, it's going to be really, really sad.
And they're also playing Miami of Ohio next year, which would be Chuck Martin, former coach. So it's not a season that Brian Kelly wants.
It's a good thing that
Notre Dame be on the hot seat.
It's a good thing Notre Dame didn't play Miami of Ohio this year.
Well, because that's where they could have been in a bowl game. If they would have, now with all the numbers, how everything would have worked out. If Notre Dame would have been 5-7, they would have gotten to a bowl game, and they would have played Miami of Ohio. So, I do not want to be in Brian Kelly's shoes if they have to play Zaire as the opposing quarterback, or even, you know, like Chuck Martin.
I think for Zaire to succeed, he's not going to blow people away with his arm. And even with just him running the football, I think for him to succeed, he'll need to go to a team that has a pretty good defense where he's not asked to do too much. And I think if he'd go to Florida, I don't know what their quarterback situation's like.
They need a quarterback.
But I think he could do pretty well at Florida.
Well, even Michigan State, there would be great because they almost always have a power run game.
Yeah.
And their quarterbacks never seem to be that good. They end up in the NFL. But it never seems like their quarterbacks are that good.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, it didn't work out. But they do have that run game, which would fit perfectly with Zaire, what Zaire wants to do. Even at Wisconsin, they have an amazing defense. I mean, watching them Saturday night against Penn State, the Big Ten championship, I mean, they have a good defense, even though Penn State kind of picked them apart. There you had that, and they always have good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt, I don't know about that. That just seems like a less competition. I mean, I don't know. They beat some good teams this year. They did beat Clemson, and they beat Penn State.
But, yeah, they're not going to be in the playoff next year. I mean,
yeah, and then North Carolina.
Some of these other teams definitely could be.
Yeah, and North Carolina, if you look at their running game, they have Elijah Hood, which was committed to Notre Dame for a while at one point. I think he has a better chance of success than what Golson did. Golson's big thing was more like the mental part of it, picking up the offense, and he obviously struggled with that. But Zaire's also got to find the right team that's not going to ask him to throw.
I agree, and I think,
or that has a run game, has a strong run game to go with.
Yeah, Zaire's belief in himself, I do think can take him pretty far. Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to move on to the other two transfers.
Corey Holmes, the other one.
This was a huge surprise to me.
Yeah, but at the same time, Once I heard it, I didn't expect to hear that at all, but once I did, I was like, well, you know, that I can see why he's doing it.
And we didn't know this either when it was when we heard that he was transferring, but he can play next season because he will be graduating this summer.
And even though he has 2 years of eligibility left.
So he could play the next 2 years at whichever school he goes to. Did he mention any schools he's interested in?
Yeah, he said he wants to hear from schools that had recruited him before, but Miami, North Carolina, Syracuse, UCLA, Arizona, and Arizona State. So we'll see. I think he knew that he wasn't going to get – these young guys had too much success this year. It's just his problem was catching the football.
And as a receiver, that happens to be pretty important.
I think the worst thing about this is that we never got to see his speed. We almost saw it.
I know. It was
we
so disappointing.
We almost had a chance to see it.
The dog went down as one of the biggest disappointments for me this whole season is not seeing how fast he is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. He said he wants to go somewhere where he can be the number one receiver.
Not sure that's going to happen.
I agree with you.
All right, then John Montelus is the third one so far.
Yeah, he had been was this spring he had actually switched to defensive line, but then he did switch back to offensive line, was competing for guard, but never saw him playing time.
But then he did.
Yeah, I don't know where his school, where he wants to end up, but he did decide to transfer.
All right, and do you expect some other transfers to be made known yet, or is that usually?
They said there could be. I don't know. Do you kind of expect anybody to transfer?
Well, Tarion Folston would be one.
Yeah, that's true, but we haven't heard anything yet. I was thinking about that one because he could transfer and get more playing time, but I wonder if he even realizes, like, he's played a lot of running back. He's gotten beat up quite a bit. And just that in itself is hard to make it to the next level. I mean,
playing 4 years and then, going on to the NFL is difficult to do,
I think the NFL wants guys like CJ Procise that plays for 1 year and has potential. And instead of a guy that's played how much college football and is already beat up because running backs anymore, they don't have that long a career. So I don't know.
Which
I think
he really only has a year and a half of heavy use. His freshman season wasn't about half a season where he really carried the ball a lot. And then,
well, the end of the year, he did quite.
And then his sophomore season, from start to finish, he carried the ball quite a bit. And then his junior year only lasted a few plays.
Yeah.
And then last year too. But I mean, do you expect, if he comes back, I guess if he plays football, like I could still see that there might be, I mean, maybe he will get some of that explosion back. I don't think he will, but I think there is a slight chance.
Well, I think there's a couple things that could bring him back. First of all is he doesn't want to go somewhere and start, like, he has to decide about his future. I think this is a long-term decision for him. The only reason to go to another school if he really thinks he can make it to the NFL. And, the other thing is that he has to, that he probably thought about, actually, I don't know, but you're very likely going to have a first-year starting quarterback under Brian Kelly, which means they're going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So his best chance could actually be staying and being part of that team, because I think that right now it looks like Brandon Wimbush is going to be the quarterback, and Brian Kelly is always more conservative the first year. They have a lot of success because they run the ball. And so Folston would have a chance to do quite a bit on the field next year.
I wonder if there's any chance of playing a different position.
Folston?
Yeah, I don't know what he would play.
No.
Because I don't think he could play defense.
No, I don't think he is.
And offensively, he's not big enough to be a tight end. And so, I mean, and I don't think he's got the speed to be a wide receiver.
Yeah. So it is interesting we haven't heard his name because they've already, given these guys their paper, release. I think it would have been Wednesday. So I guess we'll find out. We don't know how many of the fifth-year seniors can come back and whatever. Right now it looks, like the recruiting class, they'll have room for fifth-year seniors because the recruiting class isn't as big, but there will be plenty to talk about in the next couple weeks.
All right, so let's talk about the early enrollees.
There are four early enrollees, Isaiah Robertson, Robert Hainsey, C.J. Holmes, and Brock Wright. So I love to see early enrollees. The more, the better. I wish they would all enroll early.
And from this group of five, are any of them guys that you think will definitely be able to take advantage of and being an early enrollee and contributing this year? Maybe not starting, but in a role like K.J. Stefferson, where you know even with that early enrollment, he really didn't make a huge contribution, but just over time, slowly got some more reps and did end up, you know, making a big difference.
Well, right now I'm going to say Brock Wright, the tight end, just because of how the tight ends look. But I've been the
you
one saying,
been,
listen,
yes,
I've been the one saying that I think the tight ends will redshirt, or they should. But from this group, I think he will. What I'm saying is he will, I think he gets the most
benefit
of enrolling early out of these guys.
Even though you still think he'll redshirt?
Yeah.
Okay. But he'll have half year head start.
Yeah.
You know, for his sophomore season.
Yeah. It will benefit him the most. I mean, yeah, I've gotten into before why I think they'll redshirt, because they have Smythe is going to be back. Smythe.
Well, Alizé Jones.
And then you have Alizé Jones. Like, I don't think there's going to be a need. I don't think as a true freshman he'll be in front of those guys. But this is one way he can work towards that, is by enrolling early.
All right, and we'll obviously get more into kind of who these guys are and kind of how we expect them to contribute, if we expect them to contribute this year. So I'm ready to wrap it up. Randall, anything from you before we...
Well, Pete Werner, which we mentioned, did decommit from Notre Dame. He was at the Ohio State-Michigan game, and so it looks like he's going to go to Ohio State. Actually, he might have already committed. I'm not even quite sure. I kind of, once they move on, I move on as well. But do you remember?
So it's a mutual split.
There have been other linebackers that Notre Dame is trying to get to end up at Ohio State. So, the worst thing about that is he's an Indiana guy.
I agree. It is really disappointing
and
to see an Indiana guy.
The school he is from, Cathedral, is Notre Dame does get players through there, and they even get, like, there's quite a few students from there that end up at Notre Dame. So I just hate to lose in-state guys. The reality, the only thing is, if I was a recruit, I'd probably want to go out of state just to get away, just for, you know,
experience something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for myself, it sounds kind of hypocritical because I myself would maybe want to go to a different school, but I think it'd be great to, Notre Dame needs to get those guys. The good thing is his teammate, Marquis Stepp, his teammate, 2018 running back that's committed to Notre Dame, he is recruiting everybody every time. It seems like any time a recruit tweets about Notre Dame, whether they're committed or not, he's retweeting it and talking to them, and he's very involved. So
well, good, good.
I don't think it's going to be a thing of, you know, teammates, anything happening there.
Okay, awesome.
But Ohio State had another decommit. Had one of their linebackers decommit.
Decommitted, yeah.
The story is that they pulled his scholarship to make room for another five-star quarterback or a linebacker, which it wasn't said. It could be Pete Warren. He hasn't been listed as a five-star.
But that's clearly the case.
So Notre Dame's recruiting that guy. Well, so maybe they'll swap.
Hey, maybe we can get the guy with a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly.
Which seems to work for teams Notre Dame plays, like these Virginias and some of these Boston colleges.
And the last thing with the recruiting this weekend, well, it's not recruiting necessarily, but the Echoes, the award show is this weekend. Is it Friday night? A lot of there's quite a few recruits that are showing up for that.
I hope Notre Dame is able to use the new stadium over the next few years as a recruiting tool. I don't know if they have been, but I think it could be used as a tool. Like, hey, this is a pretty incredible, not experience for the players necessarily, but it's a pretty cool environment, and you know, this is game changing.
Yeah,
it remains to be seen if it will be game changing, as far as getting more of a home court, home field advantage.
And if you're wondering about the recruiting, what's going on, and as far as the coaches getting hired, the coaches are out on the road recruiting right now. They're taking in-home visits. So this is the one advantage of not going to a bowl game. You have more time to do some recruiting.
Very strategic. Bond,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that was all part of the plan. This whole season was they were tanking so they could recruit better at the end of the season.
Tank for the 2018 class.
But then on December 12th, which I believe is next Monday, there's a dead period, the recruiting. And so that is when Brian Kelly said that he will be looking for a defensive coordinator. And the bright side of that, it looks like he's going to let the defensive coordinator pick his staff.
He did say that?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to be very involved in who they
well,
keep.
Well, this is a very good sign. And I would... I don't think this was probably... I'm just guessing. This was not a Brian Kelly decision. I think this came from higher up the totem pole.
Maybe, but... Yeah.
Well, because
here's the thing.
Don't you think this is a sign that, hey, there's big problems on defense, and so if you're going to hire someone, you better let them do whatever... Hire someone that has proven to do a good job and that... you're pretty confident in, and then let him get the guys he needs to do what he has done at previous jobs.
Yeah, I think that's what needs to happen. I don't think that happened enough with Brian Van Gorder. I'm not saying it would have been any different, but he had to come in and teach all these coaches. He wasn't just teaching the players, he was teaching the coaches as well. So that's one thing I wanted to hear. And all I can say is it better be a coach outside the Notre Dame staff, which I think it will be.
Oh, well, clearly.
I think it will be, but do not promote somebody from the Notre Dame staff as your DC.
I would say that's clearly what it means. All right, well, we're about ready to wrap this up. Anything else, Randall? Oh, there was something else. Troy Pride Jr. is joining the track team.
That's a lot better than a player joining the baseball team like Torrey Hunter. I mean, I don't care what they do. I mean, maybe I'd want him to focus on the football, but to have a guy on the football team that's running track, that means you got some speed out there.
Exactly. All right, guys, thank you for listening, and you can check out our website for previous episodes as well as to subscribe to future ones, irishsportstalk.net. Follow us on Twitter @irishsportstalk, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.